Good morning. Because this is Sunday, it opens in me the thought of Sabbath. And of old it was taught that there should be one day each week of Sabbath. And that this Sabbath day was one in which we turn away from the work, the everyday work of our lives, the everyday labors, the everyday cares, and we devote that one day to worshiping God. Living in the Word of God. We're told to keep that day holy, wholly free of worldly cares, wholly free of worldly concerns, and thereby abide in God, abide in the Spirit, to have one day of the week completely free of material considerations, material worries, material labors, and to be in the atmosphere of the Sabbath. And of course, you can readily understand that nothing could be more worthwhile than this. Nothing could be more helpful to a person living the ordinary human life than to have an entire day out of every week in which they were not to permit the concerns of daily living to enter their thought, in which they were to keep themselves consciously in the presence of God. Now, of course, the result of that would be that throughout the rest of the week, part of that atmosphere attained on the Sabbath day would carry over into the week and help us in our labors, help us to carry our burdens, our cares. As a matter of fact, if we actually could attain God awareness, even on that one day of the week, it would be a tremendous help in having that presence of God with us the rest of the week to help us fulfill our tasks. This idea is further carried out in the idea of a sabbatical year. In other words, an entire year of Sabbath days. An entire year in which one frees themselves from their material cares, from their ordinary labors, and has a year of spiritual refreshment, a whole year of abiding in the atmosphere of holiness. A whole year of filling oneself with spiritual renewal, spiritual regeneration. Now, those who have ever had the experience of spending an entire day free from all material concerns, even household cares, and spending an entire day, let us say, with the Bible or with spiritual reading or in meditation or contemplation of the things of the Spirit, could surely bear witness to what effect that would have on their lives. the other 6 days following. As a matter of fact, for more than 6 days following. It was the custom of the Master to go apart for many hours, even from his disciples, and have a Sabbath, a freedom from even the ministry. That is, the ministry unto disciples and unto the care of people, and spend it in this inner quiet contemplation of the spiritual universe. And we are told that there were periods when he went apart for 40 days and fasted. Fasted really from material considerations, fasted from material labors, fasted even from the acts of benevolence, and just lived wholly and completely in the Spirit. When the system of monasteries and wisdom schools developed, this idea of Sabbath was carried much further. And to begin with, those entering the schools or the monasteries gave up all of their material concern, all of their material labors, occupations, to devote themselves really to a lifetime of Sabbath, to a lifetime of resting in the atmosphere of God and making themselves subject unto God. But there is a fault to be found with this, and that is that once you separate this world into a spiritual world and a material world, you get to where you do not think of God and the spiritual universe or the Spirit of God as having any application at all to the human life. You set it apart, and in the end it becomes valueless. Because unless the Word becomes flesh, unless the atmosphere of God can be made a part of our daily living, not something separate and apart, not something for people who have to retire from human life, but unless the atmosphere of God can really come to embrace this human universe and have a part in its functioning, it does not fulfill itself. And therefore, we have discovered that the Sabbath does not necessarily have to be 24 hours out of a period of 7 24 hours. A Sabbath can be for 15 minutes, or 30 minutes, or an hour. We can take some part of every day or night for a Sabbath period, meaning a period in which we set aside our concerns of the day, our problems of the day, our lives of the day, in which we will refuse to entertain any thought of our home, our business, our profession, in which we will completely absent ourselves from the body and be present with the Lord. Now, the fruitage of that is this, that if you have a Sabbath period, if you have a period completely apart from human cares, concerns, activities, labors, and are able to abide in the presence of the Lord, be absent from your body, the body of your home or the body of your business, the body of your profession, be absent from this world and be present in the atmosphere and in the Spirit of God, you will find that when you return to your labors, that you carry with you the atmosphere of God. You carry with you that presence of God. You carry with you the power of God, and you will discover then that your labors become lighter, your burdens become less, and you are able to carry through the work as the Master indicated. You can cast your burdens on me because my yoke is easy. In other words, I have this yoke of God which carries the labor and lets me free to perform whatever I have to do without worry, without fear, because in that period of the Sabbath, I have not only laid aside my cares, but I have taken on me the yoke, that which enables me to carry any kind of a load and yet carry it without feeling any heaviness, any drag, any weariness. So it is that in our work, in which we have these periods of meditation and contemplation, the object of them really is a Sabbath. It is a period of refraining from this world and its cares, and a period of inner spiritual refreshment, inner spiritual renewal. And you will find then that you do not need to set aside one whole day in a week, because you have set your Sabbath for some period of every day during the week. And the strange thing is this, that whereas you may start with one period of 10 or 15 minutes of Sabbath each day or night, you will find that it grows on you to an extent that it becomes absolutely necessary to have three such periods or four. In other words, you become more hungry for this 10 or 15 minute period of Sabbath than you will ever feel hunger for food. You will never, never be as hungry for food as you get for this period of renewal once you have become accustomed to it. You virtually cannot live without it. Possibility of having, in addition to those periods of meditation, the possibility of having a whole day once in a while, or a weekend once in a while, is really worth thinking about, because there too, no one except those who have had the experience of living for an entire 24-hour period in nothing but spiritual literature, spiritual meditation, scripture. No one but these can tell you what a difference it can make in your entire life's experience. To actually have a Sabbath or a sabbatical day and to be out of this world, out of its responsibilities, out of its cares, not in the sense of an escape, remember, not in the sense of taking a steamer down the river for a day, not in the sense of going to a circus, not in an escape, but for the period, for the purpose of having the entire period lived in the presence of God consciously. Lived in the Spirit. Do you know what it means to have in your hand a piece of scripture or spiritual writing, something from the masters, and actually to feel that you are in the presence of those who wrote those words, to feel that you are in the same consciousness as when those words were being brought into expression. There is nothing quite like this in all of the world, as to be able to get into a wonderful piece of poetry, more especially of a spiritual nature, or a prose writing, and to feel that you are sitting in the presence of those who brought forth such spiritual gems. It brings you into the atmosphere of the holiness that they were in when those gems came through. There are degrees of spiritual consciousness, at least degrees of our awareness of it. The consciousness itself is always at the standpoint of absolute perfect being, but we aren't always in that state of absolute awareness. And therefore, every mystic has had periods when he was completely in the Spirit and received through the impartations of the Spirit that comprise a great deal of the scriptures of the world, whether it is the Hebrew or Christian Testament, or whether it is one of the scriptures of the other peoples of the world. Every single mystic, every single religious founder has had moments of being completely in the Spirit and receiving in those moments the highest and most spiritual of impartations. The Master must have been in just such an atmosphere when he gave the world the Sermon on the Mount. Then when we are abiding in those impartations of truth, we are actually living in the consciousness of those who brought them through. And we can feel it. Not merely by picking up a book in the midst of our busy day and reading something they said, but in those hours when we've gone apart from the world and become separate from the body and present with the Lord, then we are able actually to feel ourselves in the very presence of God as they did when they were receiving these impartations. Now, the object then of a Sabbath is really to lay aside this world, that which Jesus said he had overcome finally. We ought to overcome it, even if we can only overcome it for 15 minutes or an hour, and leave every care and every concern aside to live and move and have our being in some piece of spiritual wisdom, and then turn within to the Father within and have at least 5 or 10 or 15 minutes of a life separate and apart from this world. You will find then, as you come back to your duties and obligations in this world, that you have brought the atmosphere of God with you. And this atmosphere and presence of God will certainly be a yoke that will enable you to carry any burden you have to carry, and without overburdening you, without getting you down, without overcoming you. Then our periods of meditations are really Sabbaths. And even those periods during the day when we only take 3 minutes or 4 or 5 minutes to shut out the world, to be absent from the body of this world, and to be present with the Lord, even they become moments of Sabbath. They become sabbatical moments, sabbatical minutes, a sabbatical hour. And in this period, we take on our spiritual renewal and regeneration. The ultimate object of spiritual living, of going into a spiritual way of life, is overcoming this world. That is the goal. I have overcome the world. Evidently, he meant that now I have arrived. I have overcome the world. I have no more problems. I have no more concerns. I have no more worries, doubts, or fears. I have overcome the world. I am free. And therefore, we speak in our literature of attaining freedom. As a matter of fact, the entire work this week has been on the subject of attaining freedom. You'll find that all through the talks, attaining freedom, how to attain freedom, and what is necessary in order for us to attain freedom. And the question must now come up, freedom from what? Well, be assured that it doesn't mean freedom from work. It doesn't mean freedom from our families. It doesn't mean freedom from our national duties and obligations. It doesn't mean freedom from our international duties and obligations. It means a freedom from anything and everything which would interfere with our harmonious family life, business life, national life, and international life. It means a freedom from every form of bondage that would keep us from fulfilling our duties as brothers and sisters to each other throughout this globe. It doesn't mean freedom to retire to a convent or a monastery and just sit there reading books. And nothing could become more boring than that in time. I have been told by many who have been part of that living, many, many, that institutional living is the most difficult there is on earth. And once you witness it, you can readily see why. You sit there and you read great spiritual truths, and you become filled with a spirit, and then you've got nothing to do except start all over again or take a nap. You have no way of applying it. You have no way of living it. You have no way of sharing it with this world. You get all filled up with a spirit, like being all dressed up Sunday and having no place to go. But in this, our way of living, we become imbued with a spirit. Whether we give our hour a day or 15 minutes at a time, or whether we take a full sabbatical day or occasionally a full sabbatical weekend, and then we are so filled with a spirit that, like spring, it's busting out all over. And then we go come down from the mountain, as Jesus did, into the valley, and we heal the sick, and we comfort the comfortless. And we help feed the hungry. And we help to bear the burdens of this world. And we sit in on conferences with schools or with business. And we help them with their problems or government. We mingle with the people of the world and we are enabled to lighten their burden. We're able to share with them some of the spirit that was given to us in our sabbatical periods. And how much they need it. And how much they need it. And why? Only one reason. They aren't taking in that spiritual refreshment. They aren't taking the sabbatical periods to take unto themselves the gift of God and the grace of God, which would enable them to go and do likewise. The day will come when there will be no need of ministers or priests, because every man will be a minister and a priest unto himself, because all a minister is, or a priest, is an intermediary, one who can go to God on the behalf of others. But the day will come when there will be no others, when every individual will have free access to God, free access to the Spirit and the presence of God, when every individual will be able to walk into that holy sanctuary, the Shekinah, and their tabernacle with God. And they will do it in the way that we are doing it, through meditation, contemplation, Sabbath. To enable us to achieve this, there must necessarily be ways and means of accomplishing it. In other words, it isn't really the easiest thing in the world to meditate, and it's not the easiest thing in the world to meditate successfully, that is, so as to bring in a spiritual renewal. And in the Western world, we have barred ourselves, we have set up a barrier to the accomplishment of receiving God's grace. We have rendered prayer ineffective, and we have rendered meditation ineffective. And all through just one way. When we have prayed or meditated, it has usually been about something to do with this world. And you see, neither prayer nor meditation can be successful when you're taking into it the world that you're trying to overcome. In other words, you're defeating your own purpose when you go to pray and then pray for something in this world. Whether you are praying for food, or whether you are praying for safety, or whether you're praying for security, or whether you are praying for anything in this world, the mere act of praying for something is the guarantee of the defeat of your prayer. To meditate for something or about something that has to do with your human world is to ensure the defeat of your meditation. In order to pray aright or meditate aright, you must be absent from this body. In other words, you must be absent from this world. You must not take into your prayer or meditation anything of a human nature. Not anything in the nature of a problem, not anything in the nature of a concern. In other words, the formula is, take no thought for what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or wherewithal you shall be clothed. Who, by taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? Who, by taking thought, can make a white hair black? And if you cannot do these little things by taking thought, how can you accomplish the greater things of healing the sick and raising the dead and feeding the hungry? Therefore, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And here you have the formula for prayer and meditation. When you go to pray or when you go to meditate, do not take into your prayer or your meditation anything that has to do with this world. You go into prayer and meditation only for the purpose of seeking the realization of God, the kingdom of God, the realm of God, the consciousness of God, the awareness of God, the presence of God. Whatever language you wish to use, the secret is, go into your prayer or meditation, devoid of human concern, and say, Father, I'm here for this next 15 minutes for only one purpose. I must know what you are, or who you are, or where you are, or why you are. I must even find out if you are. I must, in this period of meditation, find in me an actual spiritual experience. I must attain some awareness, some consciousness that you really exist and that you really exist within me. I must find some way of linking up the Spirit of God with my individual life. Here I am spending 60 years and 10 or 20 or 30 or 40, separate and apart from the kingdom of God, and I can't have it anymore. I hunger and thirst to know thee. I must tabernacle with thee. I must commune with something within myself that is greater than my human self, something greater than my human capacity or my human goodness or my human evil. I must learn to tabernacle with something in me that is divine. I couldn't possibly be alive if there weren't something divine in me or about me. And I must find it. I must know it. What is there within me that is spiritual? What is there within me that is greater than he that is in the world? What is it the Master referred to as the Father within me? Not only the Father within him, but he said, your Father and my Father. What is it that Paul talked about? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I live, yet not I. Christ liveth within me. The indwelling Christ makes me the Son of God. Why is it that until I find this indwelling Spirit, I am the creature who is not under the law of God, and indeed cannot be? Think of it. Think of it. As a human being, I am not under the law of God. That is why I can have accidents. That's why I can sin. That is why I can be evil. That is why I can do wrong. That is why my life isn't wholly harmonious, because I'm not under the law of God. Oh, Lord, how long can I stand this? How long can I go on living without being under the law of God, without having the feeling that there is a he that is within me, without knowing thy presence within me? How long can this go on? Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I would do thy will if I knew thy will. I would live the spiritual life if I knew how to live the spiritual life. And all the books I read tell me that the kingdom of God is within me, that I must seek it within me. Books can't give it to me. It can only lead me back to the kingdom within myself. Now here I am within myself. Here I am cut off from the world. I'm in the inner sanctuary of my own being. Father, reveal thyself. Reveal thy will, thy way, thy kingdom. Reveal thy purpose for me. Why am I on earth? Am I to live here 80 years and 10 or 20 or 30 and at the end feel I have contributed nothing to this world, nothing to thy throne, nothing to thy kingdom, nothing to thy people? Am I to live my life wasted? And at the end just say, I've made a living? Well, do you see that in this entire period of this meditation that I have not once thought of my problems or my patients' problems or my students' problems or the infinite ways problems? Never once have I thought about a human thing during that entire period. I was completely absent from this world and at least struggling to be present with the Lord. Eventually, as I keep that up, if only for 10 or 15 minutes at a time, once or twice or three times a day, eventually an answer will come from within. There will be a period of letdown, of release, and I'll feel myself in quietness and in confidence. Eventually, there will be brief intervals that might only last a second or 2 seconds or three, but there will be a period of complete release from this world, complete freedom. Then I can get up and go back to my job again, back to my life again, because I have had a period of Sabbath. I have had a period of release from the labors of this world, and I have had an interval of spiritual renewal and of peace. Now, as we continue these periods of meditation, we come to eventually what is the grand experience. I suppose it is the grandest experience that can take place in a human life. It is a given moment in which you lose desire. No more desires exist. You don't have any more desire to be famous. You don't have any more desire just to accumulate money. You don't have any more desires to build an empire. You don't have any more desires to reform the world. You don't have any desires to build a new religion. You don't have any desires at all. You just are released into a feeling of inner completeness, inner harmony with the Spirit of God. And the miracle of that experience is that thereafter you do not know desire. You live your life performing that which is given you to do, but only because it is given you to do it. Not because you have a desire for it, and not because you have a non-desire or a desire for something else, but whatever is given to you to do, that you perform. And it is a life lived completely without desire, so that when you go into prayer or meditation, that which has acted as a barrier in the lives of everyone is no longer a barrier in your life. You do not go into prayer or meditation with a desire, except the one, that great desire which can only increase and which becomes the only desire of our lifetime, to know thee aright. Not only to know thee aright, but to know thee constantly, to know thee consciously. That becomes the only desire that is left. And as you go into your meditation, you have now overcome the world. I do not seek help for anything or for anybody. I seek only to know thee aright, to know thee constantly, to know thee consciously. I seek only to abide in thy presence. It's almost like feeling a hand up on top of the head in a benediction. Just to know thy grace, to know thy will, to fulfill thy will, to sit at thy feet, to tabernacle with thee. To feel that thy life is my life. I have no more wisdom. If I speak of myself, I bear witness to a lie. I can of my own self do nothing, and I want to do nothing. I want to have no powers, God. No powers. Just that thy power may manifest itself through me. No wisdom, God. I'm at the period of unknowing. When I know nothing, and I know that anything that I thought I knew wasn't a power. But thy wisdom, O Lord, let thy wisdom be expressed through me. Let thy wisdom be my wisdom. Let thy grace be my sufficiency. I ask not for persons or for things or conditions. I ask only that I may really and truly be able to say, honestly, thy grace is my sufficiency, whatever form it takes. That wherever I am, thou art. That wherever thou art, I am. That I have no work to do but that which thou givest me. That I have no wisdom with which to do it but thy wisdom. And no power with which to perform it but thy power. Thou perform that which is given me to do. Thou supply the wisdom and the energy and the grace. That I may always feel my nothingness and yet feel perfection and completeness through thy grace, thy wisdom. Abide in me. Let me abide in thee. Ah, but you see, you can't abide in God except through a conscious act of your own will. To abide in God, you have to close the eyes, not necessarily physically, but close the eyes mentally to the world and consciously realize, I abide in thee, and thou abidest in me. Now you have performed it. You have brought it about. You are not surrendering yourself to God's will unless you consciously surrender yourself to God's will. And in order to do that, you have to disclaim any will of your own. I have no will, no desire of my own. One of the hymns that we used to sing said, fill me with all that thou art. Fill me with all that thou art. Fill me with thy wisdom, with thy might, with thy justice, that I may have nothing of myself and be nothing of myself. Thou art my bread, my meat, and my wine. Thou art closer to me than breathing, and nearer than hands and feet. I in thee, and thou in me. Do you see what a Sabbath this is? What a fasting this is from the world, and the things of the world, and the people of the world, and how it spiritually fills you, and renews you, and rejuvenates you. Then You can come down from the mountain, come down to the valley, mingle with the people, and meet their needs. Not by virtue of you, by virtue of the grace of God which now fills you, by virtue of the Spirit of God which now consciously indwells you. I can do all things for me or for you through Christ which dwelleth in me. So do you see that Sabbath must take on a far greater meaning than that which we have heretofore given it. Surely we should have one day in the week to rest from material cares and human woes. And if it is possible, have that day in the week. But for 99 9/10 of the people, that is impossible. They have family duties and family cares, and some have professional cares, and some even business cares, even on the Sabbath day. Therefore, a full day of Sabbath is almost an impossibility in the ordinary person's way of life. I know it's impossible in my way of life. I know that even in my work, we cannot take a full day every week for this. But nevertheless, we have our Sabbath day, but we have it in 10-minute periods, 15-minute periods, 20-minute periods, or we have it in the middle of the night. But we do not live without these Sabbath periods. Then when an occasional day does come along completely free, then we have the opportunity of living with the books, living with meditation, living with the Bible, and having a full and complete day, once in a great while, of Sabbath. There have been times, especially at the end of a 3 or 4 or 5 month period of lecture and classwork, when I have been compelled to take 3 or 4 days, actually spend them in bed, and have my meals in bed, because the need has been so great after a long period like that for a complete new spiritual revival, a complete new spiritual intake, because those 10 and 15 minute periods throughout the day or night hasn't really sufficed to go through 3 or 4 or 5 months of intensive lecture and class work and all the other obligations that come. And so I can imagine that anybody in the human life must have a time when even they must even get away from their families. They must even get away from their art or their profession and live 2 or 3 days completely in their spiritual literature and meditations. My way is to read for 15 minutes or 20 or 30 until I have found some particular passage that stirs me, and then stop for a period of contemplation and meditation, which may last 10 minutes or may last an hour or an hour and a half. And then read again. Meditate and ponder again. And so I can put in many, many, many hours of the day and the night just volleying back and forth between reading, meditating, reading, meditating. Even in my office, and I'm in my office at home from early morning and sometimes into the late at night, but as I dictate my mail, in between the letters, I might dictate 2 or 3 letters, then pick up a book and read, then go into meditation, then go back to the letters again. And so it is that I'm having renewals throughout the day and throughout the night. And yet I say to you that that isn't sufficient. There really should be days and weeks of Sabbath. And if I need that, I know you need it even more than I, because I know that you are out in the world continuously rubbing elbows with the other side of the world, what he called this world. And much more so must you need Sabbath. But learn that a Sabbath is only truly a Sabbath if you do not permit the human world to come into that period of Sabbath. You must be absent from the body and present with the Lord. You must not take your problems, your family's problems, your neighbor's problems, this world's problems into those periods of your Sabbath. You must go into a Sabbath or a prayer for one purpose alone. Seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye the realization of his presence and his power and his grace. And then when you come out of it, you'll find all these things are added unto us. All these things, whatever knowledge we need to carry on our business is added unto us. Whatever physical strength we need, whatever moral support we need, whatever it is that we need to carry on our obligations are provided for us in those periods of Sabbath. And it is for this reason that in the infinite way, there is no provision made for specific periods like a day of the week or an hour of the day. Nor is there any provision made for rest homes or for churches or monasteries or retreats, because the whole object of the message of the infinite way is that this world may be about the Father's business in whatever way is given you to be. Lawyer, judge, businessman. It makes no difference what. Teacher, artist. Be about that business which fulfills your inner longing and your inner capacity for expression, and yet bring into it the grace of God, the peace of God, the power of God. Therefore, each one must set their own periods for meditation and not conform to my periods, because my time may differ from your time. Your activities may keep you busy at the very moments when I would be free for meditation. And each one of you may have a different way of life that makes it impossible for you to unite at a certain period. Therefore, you must have your time and you must have your place. It may not be convenient for you to come out to a certain place at certain times. Therefore, you must find that the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And if you have to have your periods of meditation in the middle of the night, that is when it must be. If you must have your periods in the daytime when others are out at work, that must be. If you are out at work in the day and must have it at noon, each one must learn the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And you have your periods of Sabbath, not merely on Sunday, but 7 days a week. And not merely in church, but wherever you may be. And this, of course, does not mean that if you are led to attend church services or to attend these tape meetings or lectures or classes, it doesn't mean that you're not to do it, because you can find that much additional refreshment where two or more are gathered together for that purpose. It only means that you must not have the feeling that you can only enter the presence of God when you're in church or when you're in a meeting or when you're in a lecture. You must learn to be in the presence of God at any time that you retire to your inner sanctuary, to your inner self. At any time when you can close your eyes upon this world and tabernacle with the presence of God within you. And therefore, you will find that you can best do this by doing it as the opportunity presents itself to you, or as you can make opportunity. But above all, Watch that you do not create your own barrier to successful prayer and meditation by trying to pray for supply or pray for happiness or pray for peace or pray for safety or pray for something. Be sure that you pray for nothing, that your prayer is a tabernacling with God. Your prayer is an acknowledgement of God in all thy ways. When you pray, pray the prayer of acknowledgement. Father, thou art my strength, my life, my peace. Thou art the substance of my body. Thou art the fabric of my business. Thou art the meat and drink unto me. Thou art safety and security. Thou art my high tower in which I hide from the dangers of worldly beliefs. Thou art the rock upon which I am founded. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will give thee peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. In your meditation and your prayers, keep your mind stayed on God, not on problems, not on the solution of problems. Keep your mind stayed on God, and when you come out of your prayer or meditation, you will find that God has a way of solving your problems, a way that ye know not of. God has a way of solving your problems. God has a way of meeting your needs, a way that ye know not of. Human wisdom couldn't ever devise the ways that God has of establishing us in peace when our mind is stayed on him and not on problems, when we are acknowledging him in all our ways and not trying to get him to be a servant for us to do our will or our bidding. Remember, above all things in your prayers, don't make a servant of God. Don't tell God what you want him to do and when you want him to do it. Don't take your problems into meditation or prayer. Keep your mind stayed on God. Acknowledge him in all thy ways. Abide in the Word and let the Word abide in you, the spiritual Word. Live and move and have your being consciously in the presence of God and acknowledge that the presence of God indwells you. And if you pray this way, and if you meditate this way, you will find that as you go out into this world, you will be a center, a light unto those who are still in the darkness of worrying only about this world. Those who have not learned to tabernacle with God. And you are not tabernacling with God when you're in the body of this world. Come apart and be separate. During those periods of prayer and meditation, come apart and be separate. Allow no problems of the world to enter your mind. I'm not here, Father, to have problems solved. I'm not here to take the dream world into my real world. I'm here to seek the realization of thy being. Seek thy kingdom, thy realm, thy consciousness, just to be with thee, just to sit with thee, just to rest with thee 1 hour, just to rest in thy presence, in thy grace. Thy presence is a fountain of life in me. Thy presence is the staff of life, the bread and the meat. Thy presence in me is the wine of inspiration. I live not by might, nor by power, but by thy Spirit. Thy grace is my sufficiency. I ask for nothing more. Thy grace is my sufficiency. Not by might, not by physical might, not by mental powers, but by thy Spirit I live and move and have my being, and my life is eternal. It did not begin with birth, it will not end with passing. Thy life in me is a continuous experience unto the end of the world. Forever and forever and forever, thy life is my life, thy wisdom is my wisdom. And this is Sabbath. Thank you. Thank you.